Do we have our rabbi with us on the phone?
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you, Rabbi?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you?
Very good, very good. Getting ready for Passover.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You lots know, of work, fit- lots of work.
That's right. What a befitting song to start the show with.
Yeah.
We have Manishtana.
The main question of the Passover.
That is true. So I know we talked about, yes, last week we talked about the whole concept of what Pesach is, how to prepare, so on and so forth. So what I would thought we would do is we'll do an introduction to the Seder plate and what's the reasoning of the things that are given to, are used on the Seder plate. And then also, hopefully at the end, I will, and no one should get the wrong impression, I do not bake or I do not cook.
But your wife does.
Yeah, that is correct. But so I was given a recipe, a butternut squash kugel recipe.
Ooh,
that
good.
I will share with everyone. And I take no credit or blame if it's good or not good.
You're covered.
I have nothing to do with me. I have to legally disclose all this information.
Anyway,
the introduction to the Seder plate, you know, preparing the items for the Seder plate requires some time. Obviously, we try and do it as early as possible so we don't have to have people waiting, and also that we can be, you know, ready on time. Three matzahs are placed on the top of each other on the plate, or a napkin, or a covering, however people have that custom, whatever is your custom, and then they're covered.
And why three?
And the matzahs really are symbolic of three castes of Jews. We have the Kohen, the Levi, and the Yisrael. We have the priest, the Levite, and the Israelite. And those represent, each one represents one of them. They also commemorate the three measures of fine flour, if everyone remembers, in the story of Abraham, who told his wife Sarah to bake into matzahs when they were visited by the three angels. That represents also the three matzahs right there. And on a practical level, the three matzahs are needed so that when we break the middle matzah, one part of it goes for the afikomen and the other part that we're going to use later on, we're still left with two whole ones in order for us to be able to say the hamotzi prayer that we're supposed to say on two breads, challahs,
yeah,
on Shabbat, or as well that you have on the two matzahs on Passover. Now, the first thing that we have on the Seder plate is the shank bone. It's a piece of roasted meat, represents the lamb. That was the special Paschal sacrifice on the eve of the Exodus of Egypt. Obviously, since we cannot offer the Paschal sacrifice because we do not have the Holy Temple, we use something that is very similar to that, looking like that. And therefore, most people have the custom to use a roasted chicken neck or the like. And that's what it is used as a symbolic sign for the Paschal sacrifice. Now, how do we prepare that? We roast the neck on all sides on an open fire on the top of the stove. And afterwards, we take away, we remove majority of the meat of the neck. So it should be more of, you see the actual part of the bone. And what's the role of this shank bone in the Seder? Some people think, we eat it, we don't eat it, it looks good, it looks smoky. The shank bone is not eaten. There's no part of the Seder that we eat it. And after the meal, we put it in the refrigerator, and obviously then, because we need to be able to use it for the next Seder, the second day. Then we move on to the egg, which is a hard-boiled egg. Egg represents the holiday offering that was brought in the days of the Holy Temple. And the meat of this animal constituted the main part of the Passover meal. And because obviously we cannot bring up the holiday offering, therefore we bring up an egg which represents that. And obviously I don't have to tell people how to prepare it. You know, you boil an egg, one per Seder plate. Now this time, interestingly, we need two. One for one Seder and one for the next Seder. Because we do eat the egg, which I'll explain in a second. And the role of the egg in the Seder is that we place one egg at a time each night on a plate, and as soon as the actual meal is about to begin, like the Shulchan Aruch, where you have, you know, your fish and your chicken soup and your matzo balls and so on and so forth, the brisket obviously, we remove the egg from the Seder plate, and we eat it during the meal. Anyone can, the head of the household, everyone, it doesn't make a difference. And what is a popular way of eating these eggs is to chop it up and mix them with the salt water, you know, which is set on the table. And some people even use that. This egg is prepared this way, you know, mixed up with the salt water a little bit, and serves as an appetizer before fish. Some people do that, some people don't. Some people just will eat it in the middle. So it's whatever the custom of that person's family is. Then we move on to the bitter herbs, which reminds us of the bitterness of the slavery of our forefathers in Egypt. And what is the bitter herbs? It's fresh grated horseradish, romaine lettuce, and endives are really the most common ones that are used. And we, you know, you peel the raw horseradish roots and you rinse them well. And a note that is very, very important is that we got to dry the roots, whether it's going to be whole, that if a person's brave enough to eat a nice chunk of the maror, of the bitter herb, has to be dried very carefully. Because later, when they when we make the korech, the sandwich, and we take the lettuce and we take the maror and we put that in, we want to make sure that it's dry to, you know, make sure that the matzah doesn't mix with any of that water. We obviously, once you do that, whether you keep it whole, whether you grate it, we keep it on the Seder plate. And what's the role of the maror in the Seder plate? Is that after the recital of most of the Haggadah, we wash our hands and the matzah is eaten, then some of the maror, and then we have the sandwich of the matzah and the maror with the lettuce together. Now comes one of the most popular parts of the Seder plate, which everyone loves and you can eat it all the time, is the charoset, the paste, which is really a mixture of apples, nuts, wine, pears, which really resembles the mortar and the brick that were made by the Jews when they worked hard in Egypt under the rule of Pharaoh. How do you prepare that? Is that, you know, most people, we use walnuts. You got to shell the walnuts, peel the apples, and we chop it very finely. And then after we mix it all together, we add a little bit of wine to it. And so that gives it a little bit of that pasty look. And what's the role of the paste of the charoset in the Seder? And this is used as a type of relish into which the maror is dipped. And then we eat the maror. Now, people do have the custom that after the part of the Haggadah, after the maror is finished, before they eat in the middle of the meal, they love to eat the charoset. You know, everyone likes to eat the paste. So make a lot so you can have enough for both the Seders and enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Then you have the vegetable, which is either people use the potato, the onion, the parsley, so on and so forth. And it reminds us of the... because if you look... The Hebrew letters of the word karpas and can also be arranged to spell perech samech, which means back-breaking work, and which also the samech, which is at the end of karpas, is equivalent to 60, referring to the 60 mirrors equaling 600,000, which was the number of Jewish males over 20 years old that were over there. And what's the role of it in the Seder? Is after we say the recital of the Kiddush, the family goes to the sink, we wash our hands, obviously without making a blessing, and then we take the whatever vegetable that we're going to use and put that into salt water, which reminds us of the tears that the Jews had in the time of Egypt, and we eat that. Then we come to the last part of that's on the Seder plate, which is the lettuce, which symbolizes the bitter enslavement of our fathers in Egypt. And the leaves of the romaine lettuce are not really bitter. But if you know, the stem, when left to grow in the ground, turns hard and bitter. So a lot of people will take that part, or they will take the actual lettuce and dip that, put maror, horseradish, in the middle, and dip it into the charoset. And the role of it is in the Seder, is that the lettuce is used in conjunction with the horseradish, and it is used, obviously, when we eat the maror and when we eat the sandwich. So that really goes into the Seder plate as a whole. And then, obviously, you have the main meal of the Seder, where after you finish all the Haggadah, you know, where everyone has their customs, the fish, gefilte fish, and the soup, and the matzah balls, and the brisket, and the... We feast. We eat a lot. Not a problem.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you want to make sure that we have matzah, and that we have the kids that are going to ask the four questions, and we have the four cups of wine or grape juice, and make sure to eat, to drink those and to eat our matzah. And I think it's a very, very important time to be able to spend time with the family. Now, quickly, I'll go through a quick butternut squash kugel that really, really goes well as a side dish or whatever, even to eat something sometimes cold. Is really, really good. This is what I'm going to say now. Serves approximately about 8 people, and it makes a 8 by 11 inch tray. Now, I guarantee I'm not saying this from memory. This was a note that was written down for me because, like I said, I do not really cook or bake. So, all right. So here's the recipe for the kugel. It's 2.5 cups, 20 ounces cooked and mashed butternut squash, which is normally about 2 medium squashes, 5/8 cup potato starch, 1/2 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of sugar, 3 eggs, and 2 teaspoons of cinnamon or spice that a person's going to use. Now, what's the method? How you're supposed to do it? You're supposed to cut the butternut squash in half lengthwise. Obviously, remove all the seeds. Place them in a pot and with about 2 inches of water, and cover the pot and allow it to come to a boil. And then once it's boiled, reduce the flame and cook it for about 30 minutes. Or, you know, you have to feel it. You know, every stove and thing is different. But, you know, make sure that it's, make sure that it's tender. Remove the squash from the pot and let it cool. You know, you could scoop out the actual squash, the meat of it from the skin, mash the squash, and, you know, sift a little potato starch because we're not going to use flour over it to sort of get a little bit of a thicker texture and also that it won't clump together. Then after you do that, then you add the oil, the sugar, and the egg. You mix it well. You then pour it into the 8 by 11 inch baking pan. Sprinkle if you wish, or you don't have to, a little bit of cinnamon over the top. The most important part is you bake for 40 to 45 minutes on 350 until the center of the kugel tests firm when you pierce it with a knife. And and that's really what it is. And really the best way to slice it is when it's cold, before you put it, you know, maybe in the oven for another 10 minutes or so before you're ready to serve it. And a tip, any extra squash that you don't really use, you can always use as a vegetable soup later on or make a butternut squash soup. So that is a small little recipe that really goes well over Pesach. And try it. Use it.
Good luck.
Yes.
And let us know how it was. You
That's
can always
right.
email us or call the studio or tell the rabbi.
Whichever way.
Yeah.
So I want to wish you, Ilan, a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a happy, healthy Passover Pesach. You should enjoy it with your family and everyone else. You should enjoy Pesach. It's the time of freedom. Let's get free of all our boundaries, everything that's limiting us in our lives that we should be true free without any people wanting to get rid of us, wanting to kill us, hating us, anti-Semitism. It should be a true free year for everyone the world over in this year to come.
God willing.
Yes.
I wish you Chag Sameach too.
You too.
And we'll talk, God willing, next week.
God willing.
Thank you.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.